I'd like to introduce myself again. I'm Stormy Ogden. I'm Tule River Yokut. The Yokut tribe is my grandmother's tribe, and at one time we occupied the whole San Joaquin Valley. My grandpa's people is Kashaya Pomo, and that is from Stewart's Point, which is coastal area. I was told that when we come and talk to people that we need to introduce who our family members are, who our tribal people are. And I'd also like to welcome all the other indigenous people that are sitting in this audience tonight, whether you be indigenous of these lands, indigenous of the Mexico area, indigenous of Africa, indigenous of wherever. I'd like to welcome you here tonight. I wasn't real sure how I wanted to start and how I wanted to do this. And Julie has said, well, maybe I should talk about how I got to be part of this book. So I was thinking about that, and I thought, okay, well, I should tell you guys a story. And I know some of you have heard this story again, but I'm going to tell it again because this kind of introduces how I got to be part of this project. My grandfather's people, like I said, is Kashaya Pomo. And they say that if you give a child a live cricket, that the child will eat that cricket and it'd make their voice strong so they can sing all night. And it makes it clear so the dancers can hear the song, because our ceremonies are done at night and they're done through the dancing. Well, I have these two cats, and this was about 4 years ago when I first met Julia. About 4 years ago, I have these two cats, and this one cat, which decided that it was going to be my baby, started bringing in live crickets, which I thought was a little peculiar because his brother was bringing in mice and birds and rodents, right? What a cat should be bringing in. But Igmu, my cat, was bringing in these live crickets, dropping them at my feet. Well, I called my cousin up and was telling my cousin about this, and he said, well, somebody, creator, Tongashala, is telling you that your voice needs to be strong, so you can speak for the women, so you can speak for the Indian women, the indigenous women, the native women. And that was the same time I was asked to speak at the first Insight Conference. And that was down in Santa Cruz. And that was the first time I met Julia Sudbury. And I tell you that story because Julia Sudbury has become another cricket for me. She has helped me get my voice to be as strong as it is, as powerful as it is, as clear as it is. And I'm honored to know Julia. I'm honored to be part of this because Julia has always been there for me as far as bringing up issues of Native women, of Native people, because we're always forgotten about. You always hear about the other groups, but you never hear that much about Indigenous people, Native people. So saying that, I just wanted to let you know that's how I got to be here. That's how I got to write this article. And I'm honored, Julia. I'm so honored to be part of this. I'm a little bit nervous because I'm excited about it. This is the second time I've ever been published. But to be part of Julia's book is extra special to me, because she's always been there. She's my cricket. I really don't know what to read. I really want to tell you all about the book. But I guess maybe just little bits and pieces. I write this chapter from the position of a California Indian woman, a tribal woman of Yokuts and Pomo ancestry. I also write as an ex-prisoner and a survivor of colonialism. At the beginning of colonialism process, two tools of genocide were forced upon the native people, the bottle and the Bible. Along with these tools, the traditional ways of behavior and conduct of native people were criminalized. State and federal governments defined Native Americans as deviant and criminal through such procedures as the Dawes Act. With the enforcement of these new laws, Native people were locked up in a series of punishing institutions, including military forts, missions, reservations, boarding schools, and most recently, state and federal prisons. The little girl who grew up to be a convict. All of my women role models were white. They did not know how to deal with this Indian child who grew so dark in the summer. During the school year, they would cut and perm that Indian hair, putting me in pretty dresses and telling me in soft, hushed voices, your dad is just a dirty, drunk Indian. and you will be just like him. In my past, I laid upon strange beds in a motel, praying that I would not wake up in the morning. At these times, it was done as a ritual, long hot showers, purifying my body, combing my long dark hair, wrapping it into neat braids, singing my own death songs. Other times, I would be sitting on the side of an empty bed. Around me would be empty whiskey bottles and a shiny new razor blade in my hand. One of the things that I found when I was in prison is that we no longer were considered humans. We were no longer considered women. We were no longer considered Native people. You're listed through classification as being black, white, Mexican, or other. Native people were listed as others. Outside our door of the dorm, where I was at, they would have my name, they would have my state number, and they would put other on it. Well, every morning I would get up and go to my state paid job, and I would take down the word other, I'd cross that out, and I'd put American Indian. Well, this went on for about a week or so, and then the guard told me if I did it one more time that I was going to lose time behind it. Well, the next morning I got up, and I was late for my state job because I had to find a permanent laundry marker. And I ripped the tag off of the wall and put Stormy Ogden, Keshia Pomo, and Tule River Yokut. I got 60 extra days for it, but it was worth it.
That's right.
Just as alcoholism has touched the life of every Native person, so has the United States criminal justice system, in particular the prison system. As Luana Ross points out, most Native people have been incarcerated themselves or have a relative who is in prison. You don't have to raise your hands, but just think about it. How many people in here know a family member or a member of close that is doing time or has done time? Yeah. The outcome of this high rate of imprisonment can be only described as genocidal. The Native world has been devastated by foreign laws that were forced upon them, and a number of jailed Natives is a chilling reminder of that fact. Native people are being locked up at an alarming number in our own ancestral lands. For the indigenous women of North America, sexual assault and imprisonment are two interlocking violent colonial mechanisms. The criminalization and imprisonment of Native women can be interpreted as yet another attempt to control indigenous lands and as part of the ongoing effort to deny Native sovereignty. Right now, I'm sure most of you know, but right now, California has the highest population of women in prison. And Native women is the highest population, because if you look at our population, I think we're like 1% of the population in whole. We have the highest rate of people, of Native people in prison. And we're still forgotten about. We're still never brought up. We're still never thought about. We're still never talked about. When you talk about the prison industrial complex, who's being talked about? Latinos, African Americans. Well, where are the indigenous people? Where are the Native peoples of these lands? This is still Indian land. Not one single treaty was ever kept. Not one single treaty was, we were not given one single treaty to have, you know, have things come to us. So this is still Indian land. Linda and I were talking about some of the things that happened to us while we were in prison. And I was talking about how dehumanizing it is. I was down at CIW, and I was being brought back up to county for another charge. And I believe I was in Merced or Modesto. And at that time, I was state property. Well, when they put me in the county jail to transfer me up, they couldn't decide if I was state or if I was county property. So they didn't know what color jumpsuit to put me in. So they threw me into the holding cell naked for most of the night, and there was only male guards there. The whole time I was there, I was given Elavil, Melaril, Thorazine, and Chloral Hydrate. because I was a Native woman, because I was an alcoholic, because I had addiction to drugs. And this happens to a lot of the women in there. My sister just got put into prison about 6 years ago. She was in Stockton for about 4 years. She was afraid to go to counselors and talk about what was going on with her. She had two children at home. She had an alcoholism problem. She had a drug addiction problem. She was afraid to go and talk to the counselors because she was afraid that they were going to medicate them. Now, I walked around in what's known as the Thorazine shuffle because I didn't know what was happening. And to this day, I still have ramifications from all those psych drugs that was given to me. I had one very close sister. She was a Diné, a Navajo woman. And we lost her on the prison grounds. Nobody could find her. She was in the chapel underneath one of the pews, all rolled up in a ball because they had given her so much medication because she thought spiders were coming and getting her. And instead of taking her to the hospital, they took and put her in rack for 90 days. So she withdraw from the medication and then being in rack, which is like being in isolation, which means she had no clothes, she had no blanket, she had no mattress, she had nothing. And this is happening to our women today continuously. And it's a circle that's happening within all of our families about our people being locked up. In my family, my grandfather died in San Quentin. I was the first child of my dad's to go to prison. My brother was after me, and then my sister was after me. So half of my dad's kids ended up in prison. We ended up in prison behind drug and alcoholism, mainly alcoholism for me. But I became an activist after prison. I became an advocate as soon as I was born a Native woman, because I'm always preaching for our rights. For those of you who have had the pleasure of having Julia as an instructor, I applaud you. Listen to what she has to say. She's very wise. She's got strengths that I couldn't even begin to talk about. She's very passionate about this. And like I said, I'm happy to be part of this. Hopefully I'll be going to the next Insight conference to speak again. In closing, I'd like to say, what was my crime? Why 5 years in prison? Less than $2,000 for welfare fraud. What was my crime? Being a survivor of molestation and rape. What was my crime? Being addicted to alcohol and drugs. What was my crime? Being a survivor of domestic violence. What was my crime? Being an American Indian woman. Mipakwas.